knowing that you're there working in every single process through the highs and lows of job failures and successes, through the highs and lows of marriage difficulties, through the highs and lows of struggling through.
We'd like you, the congregation, to participate with us in this ordination service. And together, may we all just read the scripture, the first four scriptures that are found here together. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they be sent? If anyone serves me, he must follow me. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Michael gave us his testimony, and it's appropriate that we ask him publicly what he does believe on certain issues. And the first is, briefly, Mike, would you tell us your belief on the Word of God, the Bible, regarding inspiration and salvation?
I know one of the passages in Scripture that set the tone for me is just Genesis 1:1 at the very beginning. It says, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. And I just take that as, if I can go with that, everything else falls into place. I believe that the scriptures are the total of his inspiration on men that he put here for us so that we would have something to follow, something a guidebook to lead us. And I believe that every word in the Bible is inspired by God.
But regarding salvation, how to be saved?
As I had said earlier, I believe that the only requirement that I see in Scripture for having the security of knowing that you will go to heaven when you die is that you believe in Jesus. He says, believe in me and you will be saved.
And those of you in the congregation may think these are very elementary questions, but survey shows that the clergymen of today do not believe what you've just, there is a large percentage of the clergymen today who do not believe what you just heard Reverend Mike explain. That's why it's so important for us. And about the Genesis account in the Bible, sort of a loaded question.
I believe that it happened exactly the way it's written. I do believe also that our ability to comprehend Scripture is somewhat limited, so we do get diversity of opinion on how God pulled it off. How did he create the world in 7 days? But I do believe that with God, he doesn't have a Timex on his wrist. So with him, time isn't of any importance. That with him, the word says 1 day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. So I believe that it isn't a problem for him to create the world in 7 days. That's not an issue for him.
And then jumping to the New Testament, the virgin birth of Jesus, do you believe that?
I do believe that God created a miracle in Mary and caused his son Jesus to be born in a miraculous and wonderful way.
Again, this is a very primary question, Mike, because there are a lot of people that do not believe in the virgin birth. And, of course, we do, and we are happy that you do. Likewise, on baptism, the different types. Baptisms and the mode, spirit, what have you.
Okay. I believe that baptism is an act of obedience, that though it is not required to get into heaven, it is an act of growing in Christ, that as you choose to identify with Christ, that he says, by identifying with him in baptism, baptism is a picture. It's a picture of dying, in a sense, to yourself when you're submerged in water. It's a picture of death. And when you come up out of the water, it's a symbol of new life.
And regarding the Holy Ghost baptism?
The Holy Spirit baptism, I believe that the word is clear about there being different experiences in the Holy Spirit, that when you become saved, when you receive Jesus into your heart, he sends the Holy Spirit into you to lead you into truth and guide you. That is the process of receiving the Holy Spirit. But that there are other experiences in the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit baptism is, again, a separate experience whereby you ask him to come into your life, ask the Holy Spirit to empower you, and that he can and will give you specific gifts as he decides to give you.
And your stance on the gift of tongues, for example?
On the gift of tongues is amongst the many gifts, there's gifts of the gifts of tongues is a specific tool that he gives his children in order to pray when you don't know what to pray for.
Exactly.
If somebody comes to you and asks, would you please pray for me, and you don't know how to pray, you have a resource in your spirit to reach into where you can pray in the spirit and bypass your intellect and bypass your reasoning and go right to the need of the person.
Okay, good. Mike, would you just do this for us publicly, your prayer? Would you read the next paragraph to us?
Speak to me. I have a willingness to serve. Strengthen me. I will depend on you. Teach me. I need preparation for my work. Fill me, Lord. I want the overflowing quality of enthusiasm. Use me, Lord. I dedicate myself to you.
Okay. So the admonition that I put together, Reverend Mike Kenny, in the presence of this congregation, will you commit yourself to this new phase in your ministry?
I will. And I ask God to help me.
Will you preach and teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you love, serve, and pray for God's people? Will you nourish them with the Word and communion, leading them by your own example in holy living?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you give faithful witness in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
And to the congregation, will you receive this messenger of Christ Jesus sent by God to serve God's people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard him as a servant of Christ and as a steward of the mysteries of God?
We will.
Will you pray for Mike, help and honor him for his work here and wherever he goes? Sir?
We will.
Amen. The next phase is the laying on of hands, and I want to explain why we're doing this. In fact, a few days ago I was asked by a young lady, what is the ordination service all about? Why do we even ordain? And the ordaining service, as you see in your bulletin, it's to invest officially by the laying on of hands priestly authority upon the candidate. And it's like succession. People have laid hands on the apostles, and they went on down through the corridors of time. 47 years ago, when I was ordained, the ministers laid hands upon me because they had hands laid upon them. And now, as pastor, I want to lay hands upon Mike. I also want others to participate in this service. I want Dean Hooker, if you will come in a few minutes, to represent our church. Roxy, also representing our church as members of our church, to lay hands upon Mike. I want Robin to come and kneel beside Mike in a few moments. And then I would ask the men from the Cayucas area who love and support you to come, as well as my two sons, Brian and Ken, and the other men that are present. Would you just come and surround this man at this time, Mike?
I would like to thank you.
Yes, my family, brothers, would you come too? Joy, would you come? As the men of our church, physically, yes, come. And I want you to.
In Jesus' name, we come together. Pastor John.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we stand before you today for our dear friend, Mike A. Kenny, who's come today to accept the mantle and the call of God upon his life. How we praise you and how we worship you today for what you've done today in the life of this young man, Lord, and thank you for his act of obedience today. Surely, Lord, this is the day when you're calling men and women to the field of labor, for the fields are white unto harvest, and the labors are few. Grant now today, Lord, that your anointing and your empowerment will be upon him to go forth in your name and in the power and the strength of your might. He will preach the word in season and out of season, convincing and rebuking and exhorting with all long suffering and teaching, that he will stand as light in a perverse and crooked generation. His message will be that of the cross, looking unto you, Lord, the author and the finisher of his faith. And he will preach the word. He will preach the gospel message of truth. God, loving the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. And Father, now, we ask your anointed blessing to be on this young man's life today, Lord, that he remain faithful to the call of God. As Paul said, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away. To this great chief shepherd, who one day shall appear soon, and will crown the faithful, Father, may he be lifted up and strengthened, Lord, for the task that is before him. You send us forth, Lord, as sheep among wolves, in the midst of darkness, Lord, so that we can become the greatest light. May the light of Jesus Christ burst forth upon him, Lord. May the words of the Lord fill his mouth. May he be like Jeremiah of old, who said it was like fire shut up in my bones, and I could not restrain myself. For this we ask now, in the name of Jesus, to God be the glory. Amen and amen. Amen.
That one person, that motivation. We do want to pray for you. Anyone?
Mm-hmm.